ideally monarchs are around, but it's this time of year where you're going to start seeing them moving south for the winter, which is really, really amazing because they're making this amazing trip all the way, it's like 3,000 miles in some cases, to central Mexico, to the Oyamel fir forests. And those butterflies have never seen those forests before. They're actually fourth generation butterflies. And so they actually make that journey having never, ever been there before.
Is this unique to the monarch, or is this something that all butterflies have in common?
It's pretty unique to the monarch. There are a number of migrating insects, but for monarch, what makes monarchs so special is that they all do it at the same time. And historically, you know, they end up sort of kind of gathering in one location. There are places in Texas actually where you can actually see them flying overhead almost in like flocks of birds. There's pictures in the Oyamel forest where it looks like the trees have been dusted with Cheetos because there's so many monarchs on them.
At the expense of asking too simplistic of a question, how do they do this?
That's an excellent question. A lot of scientists are still trying to figure that out. Generally speaking, so, you know, if you start your journey, we'll start our journey in the Oyamel forests, and they overwinter there. It's a little warmer. It's still pretty cool for them, but they can make it through the winter there. And then those butterflies that have made that journey to the forest, they're going to overwinter there, and they'll live about 9 months or so, which is the longest lifespan. Usually they live maybe about a month or so. And so after they overwinter, those same butterflies that made that long trip are going to start moving north a little bit. They're going to move north, they're going to breed, they'll lay their eggs, and then they die. And then those eggs hatch, you know, turn into caterpillars, turn into butterflies, and then they move further north. And they do this three more times till that fourth generation moves all the way south again. So the way scientists are starting to think about it is that it's a combination of a couple things. Some of it could be genetic, but also they use the sun as a big telltale to know what direction they're going. I found this really interesting. I was doing a little research. I found scientists figured out they can actually, in a way, tell time because the sun moves across the sky, right? So depending on where the sun is, south is different. And they found out that the butterfly's internal clock is in their antennae somewhere. They had covered the antennae with paint and they couldn't tell time anymore. And so they didn't know which direction to go. They lost their sense of that. So that's a really amazing thing. And there's also there's talk about them feeling magnetic fields and stuff like that. That I'm not as super familiar with, but those are the two big hypotheses they have on how those butterflies are finding their way south, having never made that trip before.
So the end result is that a bunch of them are going to be in Land Between the Lakes. So what are some of the distinct markings of the monarch?
Well, monarchs are a fairly large butterfly. They're about the size of the palm of your hand, give or take. And they are bright orange. They've got black striping and some white spots as well. And one of the cool things about them is they're one of the few you can tell the difference between male and female just by sight. The males have two highly visible black spots on their bottom wings, which are their pheromone glands, and so that's how they flirt with the ladies. There is a look-alike that's native here to Kentucky. It's our state butterfly called the Viceroy. They are a mimic, so they like to look like monarchs because monarchs don't taste very good to birds, and they want to make sure they stay safe.
What are other characteristics or behaviors that are inherent specifically to monarchs?
They rely solely on milkweed to reproduce. That is their host plant. A lot of, you know, butterflies, caterpillars, they all have host plants, and some of them, especially our more local, less traveled guys, they might have four or five host plants, but monarchs live off of milkweed only. They can only lay their eggs on milkweed. They can only eat milkweed as caterpillars, because that's what lends them to be poisonous, essentially, and not taste so good as caterpillars and butterflies. And so that's something really crucial to their natural history and sort of behavior, is that they need that milkweed.
I know that there's a lot of butterfly enthusiasts. Do you ever get to talk to them when they're out at LBL?
I do. Usually in our backyard, we've got one or two, you know, every once in a while. I had a gentleman chasing the zebra swallowtail one day. He was very interested in trying to find a photo, get photos of the zebra swallowtail. And then, of course, with the monarchs, we get really excited. We'll get two or three in the backyard at a time, maybe. And people usually get a pretty big kick out of that.
What is it about people who are chase butterflies? I mean, I've talked to a lot of people who are bird enthusiasts, and they can go on and on for 5 or 10 minutes about why they like birds. What is it about the butterfly?
A lot of people, butterflies can be symbolic to them in a lot of ways. So some of it's that, some of it's just a fascination with the fact, especially if they're chasing a monarch, you know, they're a well-traveled animal. Like, that's amazing, especially, you know, because that trip is something they've never done before. That's a really, it's almost a wonder of the world almost. Like, it just doesn't happen anywhere else. So it's kind of neat to get to witness a small part of that. Since they're not as concentrated here, it's a little different, but people still really enjoy seeing them.
Well, is there anything else that listeners need to know about the monarch or how they can view them at Land Between the Lakes?
Well, viewing them at Land Between the Lakes is just a matter of going. Our backyard at the nature station, of course, is full of native plants. That's going to be the big thing. If you want to see monarchs, you want to see native insects, butterflies, birds, planting native plants is a great way to do that. And we've got a great demonstrations at the nature station regarding that. Also, if you drive the trace, you're going to see milkweed and all sorts of cool other stuff. I saw Joe Pieweed just full of butterflies the other day. Planting native plants, planting milkweed, native milkweed. There is there's a few different kinds of milkweed. So if you don't like the sort of stereotypical common milkweed, there's also a swamp milkweed that's a little more dainty but just as pretty. There's a lot of people know about butterfly milkweed. It's the orange one that's really, really flashy. People like to put that one in their garden. These are all but milkweeds that the butterflies can use. And so it provides nectar for all the critters, but also provides the habitat for their eggs. The one thing we don't recommend is planting the tropical milkweed. Tropical milkweed is a non-native plant, and it blooms far longer than it would in this area, and milkweed naturally. And so it can lend butterflies to kind of sticking around in the further, in South Florida, for example. There are some non-migratory butterflies that kind of stay there because the flowers are blooming and there's tropical milkweed down there. And because of that, they have seen increases in like parasites and whatnot in those particular populations because they don't move around quite as much.